I can see the clouds rolling. I can feel the winds, they try to shake me. I will not be moved. My feet are on the rock. I can see the waters rise. I can hear the howling lies that haunt me. Fear won't hold me down. My feet are on the rock. When I feel my hope about to break, I will cling to your unchanging grace. Let the waters come and the earth give way.
I'll be dancing in the rain.
My feet are on the rock. My feet are on the rock. I can see the morning light. I can feel the joy on the horizon. Here my faith is found. I stand on solid ground. When I feel my hope about to break, I will cling to your unchanging grace. Let the waters come and the earth give way.
I'll be dancing in the rain.
When I feel my hope about to break, I will cling to your unchanging grace. Let the waters come and the earth give way.
I'll be dancing in the rain.
My feet are on the rock. My feet are on the rock.
On Christ the solid rock I stand. All the ground is sinking sand. So glad to speed and stomp your hand. My feet are on the rock.
On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. So stomp your feet and clap your hands. Our feet are on the rock. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. So stomp your feet and clap your hands, our feet are on the rock. When I feel my hope about to break, I will cling to your unchanging grace. Let the waters come and the earth give way. Feel my hope about to break, I will cling to your unchanging grace. Let the waters come and the earth give way.
I'll be dancing in the rain.
My feet are on the rock. My feet are on the rock. My feet are on the rock.
Okay, our first praise song this morning is 224. We have come into this house. Stand as we sing. Let's sing both verses.
We have
5:13. Thank you, Lord. We'll sing this through two or three times.
Children, Todd is not here today, so I'm going to do the little lesson for you. So if you want to come up front, we'll have a little talk. We'll get that. There we go. Come, have a seat. Anybody else? Come on up. Don't be afraid. I'm going to bite. I have two children, and I have six grandchildren. You lost your cup, bud. You got... All right. How's everybody this morning? You doing good? Huh? I want to talk to you a minute and ask you, do you know, first off, I'm your pastor now, okay? You know what that is, huh? I'm the one that gets it up here and preaches, okay? And of course, I've been doing it, but I was what they call an interim, but now I'm the full-time pastor. So my responsibility is to preach the messages. Yep. Okay. And to teach the Bible, and to minister. And I'm everybody's pastor, even yours. Okay. I want you to know that. Okay. Yeah. What, you got a question? Or are you just waving? He's just waving. Okay. All right. So nice to be friendly. All right, let me ask you a question. Do you know what prayer is? Okay, all right. So what are we doing when we're doing that? We're talking to God, aren't we? Huh? And that's something we, and as you grow up and get older, you'll understand more about it, won't you? Huh? But any time you have a problem, or if any time you're glad about something, you go talk to God about it, don't you? Huh? Now, I'm going to give you something here. Did you know that God has a telephone number? Y'all know that God has a telephone number?
Amen.
We're looking at some of you do know. I'm going to give it to you. God has a telephone number. His telephone number is Jeremiah 33:3. Okay? Now, here's what it says. Here's God's phone number. It says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Okay? So God has a telephone. And we can call him. But it's not hooked to a wire. It's not a cell phone. But it's a phone within our head. Okay? And in our mind. And we can go talk to God. And we can have prayer with him. Okay? And so y'all remember that. So, and as you grow older, I want you to remember to pray more and more, okay? Prayer should be, do you pray before you go to bed at night? Do you say your prayers?
Yes.
Okay. Huh? I can remember ever since I can remember, I used to get on my knees and before I climbed into bed and would say my prayers. Okay? So remember to do that, will you? Okay. All right, so let's have a... Oh, what, you got a question? What? You don't... he doesn't. Okay. All right, so let's have a little prayer, okay? And you can go to children's church. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of prayer. And thank you for these little ones that they come to learn to know about prayer and get closer and closer to you as they grow older. And all of us here in the church remember that prayer is a vital part of our lives. For this we all pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. You can go. Okay.
Did he put his money in the offering plate? He was holding it up there for a while. I thought he's gone with it now. He's holding some rolled bills up there. I think he ended up putting them in his pocket. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for each and every one that is here and that we've come to be in tune with you and to take instructions from you and direction in for our lives and the way that we need to go each day. And we thank you for all the wonderful and great things that you do. And we have a special prayer today for as we start our Easter offering, our Annie Armstrong offering, that we remember all the work that our missionaries do within the North American missions. And the different peoples that they reach within the North American continent and all the ministries that are going on. Help us to remember that in our prayers and also to remember that in our giving, that this more and more people through our efforts will be reached for the Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom will be enlarged greatly. And we pray, Father, for the families here and the loved ones that have just recently passed away. We know the sorrow that's in their hearts. We know the tenderness is there and the missing of that loved one. But that you would comfort them through this time and fill that empty place in their heart with your love only in a way that you can do. And may each and every one feel the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And as we know, Jesus said, he's our comforter. He's our guide. And we pray that we would feel that in a special, wonderful way. And then all that we do here in this service is according to your glory and your will as we do it in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Amen.
Our offertory hymn this morning is hymn number 571, Trust and Obey. Stand as we sing, please.
Thank you.
last Sunday we talked about the motive for prayer. And this Sunday I'm going to preach on fasting. And when I already sent the information to Shelley, I realized I had skipped over how to pray. So next Sunday we'll step back and we'll do how to pray. But we'll look at fasting today. So don't ask me, did that, but it just hit my mind later. You forgot it. You skipped it. All right. One day a father announced he was going to fast and pray. His five-year-old daughter had just recently learned that fasting meant no eating. She said, "No, you can't fast. You'll die." Her dad explained that many men and women fasted in the Bible. The little girl paused for a moment, then with a flash of insight and a note of warning, she proved her point and said, "And yeah, they all died." Once upon a time, a king ordered a three-day fast throughout the kingdom. Anyone caught not fasting was to be smitten seven times with a rod. Anyone caught assisting another in breaking the fast would be shackled to a ball and chain. After 2 days, a nobleman, a count, decided he couldn't hold out, so he ordered three servants to prepare a meal. Word leaked out to the royal palace that the count and countess were breaking the fast. The king and queen were furious and rushed to the count's home, busting in just in time to see dessert was being served. The king growled in a sarcastic voice, "Is the count full?" "Yes," declared the queen, pointing to the five offenders, ordered their punishment. "Ball three and strike two." Jesus' address on fasting. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. Matthew 6, verses 16 through 18. "Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Fasting. Now, first, look at this. This is something I have personally never fasted. I've never seen the need for me to fast. I've had serious situations. I've gotten alone with the Lord in different times. I've gone up on mountaintop and different things like that and by myself and different things. But I seem to always accomplish what I needed with the Lord without having to fast. And you see, I haven't missed any meals, so... But we're going to go through this fasting. It says, first, what is fasting? It's to abstain from food for some religious or other special purpose. It can be from one meal to one day to several days or up to 40 days. Also, it can be just no eating certain things. Now, being consumed with a matter that it becomes more important than food. To set food aside in order to concentrate on seeking God's about the matter. Abstaining from food in order to concentrate upon God and his answer to the matter. Now think about this. When you eat, what happens? I know in the evenings I eat dinner. I sit in the chair. Ain't long, I'm gone. Now how about Thanksgiving dinner? They say there's something in the turkey that makes you sleepy. So get away from the food that you can concentrate. Concentrate on God. Biblical fasting. This involves prayer, intense supplication before God. It is humility. Ezra 8:21. "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahaza, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance." Now, this shows we need God more than we need food. Maybe hard to think sometimes, but it is. We need God more than anything else. Isaiah 66:2 says, "For all those things hath mine hand made, And all those things have been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. This is the way God views humility. It is linked to repentance, 1 Samuel 7:6. And they gathered together in Mizpah and drew water, poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. This was when the ark had been temporarily lost. This is when the Philistines had taken the ark. And so a fast of deep humility and repentance was required, because that ark was very important to them. That ark is what, it led them through the wilderness. That ark is what contained the Ten Commandments. It was very important. And of course, if you know in history, when it was mishandled, somebody got struck dead. It was something very sacred and something that needed to be guarded. And of course, they lost this because they got into a battle and they had not consulted God. It is spiritual hunger. Anna, Luke 2:37. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. This was an expression of worship. It is done in times of mourning. Joel 2:12. Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting and with weeping and with mourning. Biblical examples of fasting. One, Moses. You remember Moses went up on the mount in Exodus 34:28, and he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water, and he wrote upon the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. David, 2 Samuel 12:16. David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. This was the child that was conceived in adultery with Bathsheba. And you know, this pained David very, very much. But the God took the child. And after that, David got up, cleaned up, and he went and worshiped. And you know what he said? Can't bring the child back, but I can someday go be with him. Psalms 109:24. My knees are weak through fasting, and my flesh faileth of fatness. This was a prayer he did for himself and for his adversaries. You know, David's always praying for his adversaries. Daniel 9:3. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. This is when the people were in captivity, and this was Daniel's prayer for their deliverance. Because, you know, Daniel's prayer got him into trouble. He's not supposed to pray to God. There are those throughout our history here, and even our own country, trying to stop prayer. We don't have prayer in school anymore. What in the world's going on? That's been going a long time. Daniel 10:2-3. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And through this time, this was when he was receiving a vision. Paul, he did it often. 2 Corinthians 11:26-27. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and in nakedness. Jesus, Matthew 4:1-4. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made of bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And I always think about this, and I think I don't know if you remember, there was a comedian some years ago, Brother Dave Garner. Some of you old might have heard him, remembered him. He said, man does not live by bread alone. He must have peanut butter. I just thought I'd pass that by you. When to fast. Seeking God to fill a need in our lives. There are things that happen to us sometimes that we need God's help and we really need to get serious about it. Seeking God for a breakthrough. Something is going and we need a breakthrough on it. Seeking God for commissioning when one is going into service. Acts 13, 2 and 3. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Seeking God's will and guidance for the church. I know at times I've not had in any of the churches I've pastored, but I have seen and known of churches sometimes and trying to make some decisions, some serious decisions, and the whole church has fasted. Not for days on end, but sometime a day or two they would meet and fast and spend serious time in prayer. Feel a special pull, an urge, or a call within to get alone with God. Times when there's a need to humble your soul before God. Now, I haven't done this. I haven't fasted, but I have done this. I have gotten prostrate on the floor, flat on my face to the Lord. Prostrate. Serious. Humble yourself before God. Times when we need a very special power from God. Sometimes we need only something that God can do, and it's only going to be through His power. Now, Jesus talked about the right way and the wrong way. The wrong way, not as a hypocrite. How many times has Jesus mentioned things as He went in His ministry about the hypocrites? They do it to gain God's approval or for self, to make themselves feel good. They do it to gain religious recognition. Any purpose other than to meet God's is wrong. It's not for recognition. Pride, the danger of feeling super spiritual. You know, there are some, and this Paul warned about this in his scriptures, about someday, well, I can do this and do that, and you can't, so I'm more spiritual than you. I'm more important than you. I'm super spiritual. That some people did that. Danger of overconfidence in self. Confidence is to be in God. Learned that early on in my life and in my ministry. My confidence is in God, not in myself, not in my strength, but in His. Danger of sharing one's fasting experience. It is to be a private matter between you and God. Danger of changing one's appearance. The way one acts and behaves to draw attention. You see, there were those that would make them mess up themselves to look like they'd been fasting, and they really hadn't. And what did Jesus say? If you're fasting, you go clean up and don't look like you're starving. Fasting the wrong way has its reward. That is human recognition. But only the recognition of men, not of God. Fasting the right way as a duty. What does it say? When you fast, God expects it of us in a serious times and situations involving our need for God. To be done without notice between God and the person. To be with God alone, to meet God in a special way. And fasting the right way has its reward. God will reward openly with blessing and eternal reward. Now, here's the benefits of fasting. Keep one in the presence of God. You're alone with Him. You're not eating. You don't have anything affecting your thoughts. And you're alone in the presence of God. It humbles one's soul before God. It teaches one of his dependence upon God. It demonstrates to God a real seriousness by its action. That's the same way even just in basic prayer when we go to God, we need to be serious about it. And sometimes God will wait and won't answer right away. And we have to continue to pray about it. He wants to see just how serious we are about it. It teaches one to control and discipline their life. It takes discipline to do this. Keeps one from being enslaved by a habit. And can help one to stay physically fit. They say something like this, you don't eat for a while and it kind of cleanses your body out. And particularly today, you don't know what's in some of the foods we buy, this prepared stuff. Just as our body needs food for nourishment and survival, our soul needs spiritual food. Matthew 5:6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. John 6:35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now that's talking about the spiritual food. That's talking about, and a problem today that I have seen over my ministry in years, and I have read and studied on, there seems in a lot of places and a lot of churches and people out there and the Christian, there seems to be a lack of the hunger and the thirst for God's word. I see it when I'm up here preaching and I'm going through the Bible. I see it as I'm feeding you. I'm giving you some spiritual food. And when I study, and whether it be for a sermon or be for my own personal edification and meditation and so forth, I see that as my spiritual food. That's what I build on. That's what I build on. Our spiritual appetite can only be filled by the Spirit of God. Our spiritual appetite can only be satisfied by Jesus Christ. Revelation 7:13-17. And one of the elders answered and saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes. Isn't that beautiful? So it starts here with our prayer, and if we have to, we need to see the need to fast and realize that the spiritual food is more important. And the one thing that happens is when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Spirit comes into our lives. And he's the one that feeds us. He's the one that fills us. Jesus said many times, he's the bread of life. He also gives us living waters. And there's a scripture that says that by the tree of life, there runs the river of everlasting life. Do you know that today? Do you know that he's your Lord and Savior? Are you feeding on him? That's very important. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your word. And we look at fasting today and know that sometimes it's important that we do something like this and that we can spend more time with you and with leaving away the cares and the thoughts of this world and only thinking about you, what you've done for us and what you can do for us. And we pray this, we go through life now. We go through it with your Son, Jesus Christ. And that we're being constantly fed spiritually through him and the Holy Spirit. And if anyone here today has not done that, or not sure that would make that commitment today, would come to receive him as our Lord and Savior. For this we pray in his precious and holy name. Amen. 485 into my heart.
trust the Lord spoke to your heart today. And like I say, next week we'll go back and we'll see Jesus taught us how to pray. Okay. Somehow I grabbed the wrong folder and I put the outline from that in the wrong one. And then after that, I thought, oh, what have I done? Look at this. I'll back up. I goof every once in a while. Anyway, hope to receive the word today. And I'm going to be down here today because I know most of you come this way, so I could speak to more of you, okay? And then don't forget the service for Wanda's mother at Cone Baptist this afternoon. So a reminder, 1 o'clock for visitation, 2 for the funeral, okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your word. We thank you especially for your presence. And we pray that we go out into the world carrying that presence with us. And we are ambassadors for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we share him especially with those that are lost. For this we pray in his holy and precious name. Amen.